the studio in Nitro, West Virginia, this is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt, and maybe you're a WVU football fan and you're looking for shelter from the storm. You're looking for a palate cleanser based on how the football season's going. And basketball fans will tell you, we've been here. It happened 2 years ago. Things got better. I have encouraging news. It can't get worse. Well, I shouldn't say that. It shouldn't get worse. It's year zero, right? Keep spotting the ball, keep holding the rope, keep your hard edge. But you're here for basketball, and we've got basketball stuff happening. Preseason. Goodbye offseason. You're always so long. Goodbye, good riddance. We're in preseason. No more 4-on-4 videos. We're going to see 5-on-5 videos if they show videos of practice. We got the official Ross Hodge press conference. We've got the full Big 12 schedule. We got the first computer rankings out. We've got a name change at the Coliseum. Everything's happening. And we're in the preseason, just like football had a preseason. And there's excitement there. And it's going to pot in football this season. And I don't know what's going to happen in the regular season of basketball, but we don't have to worry about that right now. Hope springs eternal in the preseason. Speaking of hope, let's start with that one. The Coliseum has naming rights. They have been sold. It's now the Hope Coliseum. Hope Gas dished out $20 million for a 10-year naming rights contract. According to Mike Kazaza, $2 million a year, and Rim Baker has hinted that this was coming. The Hope Coliseum, is it the worst name? It is not. Will it be trolled? Absolutely. I mean, just prepare to read, you know, you flip on the social media app of your choice, and you're going to read Lost Hope Coliseum. You're just going to read that if it's a bad home loss. $2 million a year. Money's got to come in. Got to feed the beast. Here's the thing about naming rights. Me and you, we can call things whatever we want. You know, ask the Charleston Civic Center what its real name is. Ask the Staples Center what it's called now. Ask Heinz Field what it is. Ask Appalachian Power Park. I can go down the list of what the naming rights are and then what I call them. And it's the same with this. Now, maybe I'll lean into the Hope Coliseum, and maybe I do what I want and call it whatever I want. I can still, now, the Hope Collie, that sounds weird. I'm not really a collie guy. Anyway, I get to choose. That's the answer. We'll see how it goes with Hope Coliseum. Let's talk about the Big 12 schedule. And it's out, and it is front loaded. The difficulty meter to start is rough. Here's Ross Hodge's first four Big 12 games. Start in Hilton Coliseum against an Iowa State team that's going to be really good. You come back home and you know who's waiting for you? Sincere Harris, Kerr Creasa, Cincinnati Bearcats. Then you get Kansas. This year, you get them at home, or this season. Then you go to Houston to play the Terminator. I mean, it has been not close every time West Virginia's went to, what are they called? The Furtado Center? Whatever that thing is in Houston. West Virginia has not fared well at all in that building. That's the first four games. Then you follow that with a trip to Arizona to play Arizona State and Arizona. So it is a brutal start to the schedule, but there are good things about the schedule too. Only two-game road trips, the trip to Arizona, and then later in the schedule, you play on the stupid frog court and you play at Stillwater. Two road games are strictly Eastern time zone trips, one to Cincinnati, one to Central Florida. I'm telling you, that just makes a big difference. This, you know, you go to Houston and you come back and you lose an hour. and you get back instead of 1 a.m., you get back at 2 a.m. or however it works. When you fly east, you lose time. So when you stay in your time zone, that helps everybody. So it's nice that there's two of those. Because last year it was like, go to Cincinnati and then follow that up with going to Colorado. You don't gain anything from that. Going to Cincinnati and then coming back, that is a win for the travel. So that's good. We're back down to 18 games for the Big 12 conference, down from 20 from last year. So you get a week off. West Virginia's is going to be a little bit more than halfway through the Big 12 schedule. You get a 6-day break. And so outside of that first four games and with the trip to Arizona, say the first six, there's no stretch in the rest of the, 12 games that follow that is like, ooh, that's a brutal stretch. But you start with a brutal stretch. So I'd rather do that. I'd rather front load it where you're still figuring out the team and you're still getting reps. And as they're getting better throughout the season, I would rather have that than finish with a brutal stretch in the final six games. Make no mistake. 18 games, 20 games, Big 12 schedule is always a gauntlet, but I am pleased on paper with how this Big 12 schedule panned out. Now we have the full schedule. The next domino to fall there is where the games are going to be on television. Talked about this. We're casting a wide net this year on where the games could be found on a television station or in a streaming service. We'll find out together as we get closer. But this is exciting. Full schedule. Hope Coliseum. Now let's talk about computer rankings. And the first ones out of the computers that I pay attention to, Evan Mayakawa's computer. His rankings are out. Last preseason, Evan had WVU at 84 in Division I. 14th out of 16 Big 12 teams. And of course, they did way better than that. They ended up being 31 spots better, 8th seed in the Big 12 tournament, with one of the best players on the team not playing any conference games. This preseason, Evan's computer weirdly more optimistic than what the computer thought of last season's team. So I don't know what to do with that. You know I'm a low expectations guy, so when we increase the expectations for another first-year head coach, and what I would argue is not as strong of a pull from the portal as what West Virginia was able to pull last season, the computer says better on the front end. 64, that's good for 11th in the Big 12, so still in the bottom half of the Big 12, but better than 14th. But let's say Evan's computer is sandbagging again. If West Virginia is to make a jump, and let's say they make the same jump, that's not going to happen. But what if it did? Then West Virginia finishes the regular season 34th. That's firmly in the top half of the Big 12. That's an absolute, make no mistake about it, NCAA tournament team if they make the same jump that last year's team made. In Evan Maya's computer. Again, will that happen? It will not. But what if it did? From a player standpoint, because Evan Maya's computer, it ranks the teams, it ranks the players as well. And the highest ranked player on this Mountaineer roster is Honor Huff. WVU has three players in Evan Maya's top 50 in the Big 12. The other two are Jasper Floyd and Chance Moore. None of those three Mountaineers are in the Big 12 top 30. Would you be shocked to know that there are six Big 12 teams in Evan's top 25? And guess who's number one? Does it remind you of a 80s Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? Yeah. Number one, once again, Houston Cougars. Two seasons in the Big 12. Two Big 12 regular season championships. One Big 12 tournament championship, one Sweet 16, one national runner-up. You know, I mention that because Ross Hodge in his introductory press conference for taking the job, and multiple times he's saying, I want to be like Houston. I want to model our program after what Kelvin Sampson's doing at Houston. And that's the bar that Houston is setting. So as far as a program to try to model yourself after, that's the one. And that's the question, right? And Drew Schifino, if you haven't listened to that interview, definitely check it out. That was on Unreasonable Doubt. Appreciate Drew for joining the podcast. That's his question is, can you be like Houston with lesser talent? Can you be Diet Houston? Can you be like a Terminator that, you know, that has some empathy and maybe doesn't kill everything, right? Houston Light.
The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You're listening to this podcast. You're a WVU fan. You go to Uncommon Goods, type in West Virginia University. They've got drinking glasses. They got a throw pillow. They got, you can get a cheese board in the shape of West Virginia. All sorts of cool stuff. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/musket. That's uncommongoods.com/musket for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
I think it's possible, but part of the Houston model is guys sticking around for more than 1 year. In this climate with NIL and transfer portal and everybody's going everywhere and thousands of guys are in the portal, Houston's in that same universe, right, where that exists, and yet Houston brings back guys. Look at this season, Emmanuel Sharp, who had a brutal end to his last season at Houston in the national championship game. This will be his fourth season in Houston. Tugler, third season. Uzan, second season. Last season's team had 2 4-year guys, Jawan Roberts, Francis, Sharp, Tugler, Arsenault, third season. LJ Cryer, Malik Wilson, multiple seasons with the Cougars. That is the secret sauce. It's awesome to get the best talent. And Houston can do that. They do have the best of both worlds. But they retain guys, and it doesn't have to be like Emmanuel Sharp and be there all 4 years. And it doesn't have to be like Jamal Shedd. But get them to come back for one more season. Have them stick around for two. Here's the returning scoring percentage for Houston in their previous 5 seasons. These percentages are what percentage of scoring from the previous year's team is coming back. And here's that returning scoring percentage for Houston the last 5 seasons. 73%, 46%, 36%, 42%, and 79%. And guess the 2 seasons when they brought back over 70%, what happened with Houston Cougars? It was a Final Four and it was a runner-up from last season. And those other 3 seasons, the 46, 36, and 42, they still were really good NCAA tournament teams. Let me give you West Virginia's returning scoring percentage this season. It's a zero. It's a zero. 0%. So, and I know that. Like, I don't know what Houston's going to be for this upcoming season, but they're bringing back Sharp, and they're bringing back Tugler, and they're bringing back Uzan. So that is more than zero. WVU, zero. The previous 5 seasons returning scoring percentage for WVU, 3%. 10%, 12%, 44%, and 77%. So in the last 5 seasons, we had one where we're in the 70s. And the season with 77% it's the last time West Virginia won a game in the NCAA tournament. That was Deuces last year. And WVU made the NCAA tournament returning 12%, but they had six guys come back from the previous season. They brought back Emmett Matthews, and they got good transfer portal luck. Stevenson was really good. Trey Mitchell, Joe Toussaint. Is this the first time I've talked about retention on Unreasonable Doubt? Absolutely not. I am a broken record with this. And to be fair to Ross Hodge, you can't retain anything in your first season. I mean, it's hard to do that. And he did not. Everybody disappeared besides Abe, and he was a redshirt. So it's hard to do that, but in the future, how we're going to know if Ross Hodge is got it on the right track is he retaining guys? Because it's so important. And again, transfer portal, it's wild out there. People coming and going. And you don't have to bring everybody back. So Ross Hodge has a number of guys that are out of eligibility after this season. But he has also got a number of guys that are freshmen, I think a sophomore's on there, guys who could come back. And you don't have to bring them all back, but you got to bring at least one of those guys back.
Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read posts about WVU sports, daily throwdown. Check that out. Go to the Discord. We're talking about WVU sports and other stuff on the Smoking Musket Discord. Link for that is in the show notes. Listen to West by Pod, the WVU football podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Do all that stuff. Smoking Musket.
I mean, let's go back to Evan Mayakala's computer. His preseason top 10 in the country. Number one is Houston. Talked about Houston. Purdue. They have three starters from last season in their fourth year at Purdue. They're bringing back three four-year guys. Every year they played college ball has been at Purdue. John Shire, three projected starters who played for Duke last season. Todd Golden's bringing back a bunch of guys for Florida. He redshirted an eight-foot guy. Florida has an eight-foot center. And I'm rounding up to eight. You can round up to eight with this guy. He's 8 feet. Dusty May, he's retained at least four rotation guys from his first season at Michigan. Dan Hurley's got four projected starters that were on last year's Husky team. Arizona's bringing back three starters from last season. BYU is bringing back two starters from last season. Brad Underwood retained at least three rotation guys. Mark Pope is bringing back at least four rotation guys in his second year at Kentucky. I can keep going. The transfer portal and freshmen mix in with established guys who have been at the school at least 1 year. That's the formula. And WVU's got to start with, and for the sake of retention, let's get the head coach's stay at least 2 years, right? So that the first thing we got to mark off of the box, and it's the preseason. Getting way ahead of myself here. But Ross Hodge needs to be the head coach, regardless of how the season goes. He needs to be the head coach for the WVU Mountaineers in the 2026-2027 season. Gotta have that. That's step one. Let's retain a coach. I'm having a hard time with that right now. So retain Hodge. Then, if Hodge stays, let's see how many. He's got eight guys. Some of those guys are walk-ons. But he's got eight guys on this roster with eligibility that could come back for year two. Again, doesn't have to be eight. But it can't be zero. We cannot have two seasons in a row where that returning scoring percentage is goose egg. That is not a formula for success. And the more retention and the more immediate success, that's one step closer to seeing if we can be like Houston. Or can we be Houston Light? Like, you get to the finishing part in Mortal Kombat and then do the code for friendship. You know, like cute, not super fatality or whatever, just friendship. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms or just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Overcast Podcasts, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh with WVU for the 2025-2026 season. They have 0 wins and they have 0 losses.